Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, welcome to Cowboy Church. I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And today we're talking about one of the most wonderful events.
Our theme is Palm Sunday, mm-hmm. or the triumphant entry mm-hmm. into Jerusalem.
That's right.
Does anything
right.
about that bother you?
Bother me?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe perplexed me a little bit to, I've always wondered about the donkey.
Yeah.
Why he rode a donkey.
See, every cowboy thinks that they should have improved this a little bit by riding kind of a nice horse.
Well, you know, when you have the grand entry at a rodeo,
mm-hmm.
you don't pick the worst horse out back to bring the flag in.
It's backwards to us, isn't it?
It is a little backwards. But even with the beautiful horse, what's important is on top.
That's it.
You know, it doesn't matter what motates it to go around the arena. It's what's on top. It's the lady and the flag.
Yeah.
You know, but what perplexed me is when we have the grand entry for the rodeo, who comes in on a donkey or a mule?
Oh, it's the clown.
The clowns.
That's the truth, isn't it?
And I asked Mark this. I said, well, but, I mean, they're trying to be funny and diminutive. And I don't think they're being sarcastic or anything. But he said, maybe they are saying they're not the stars of the show. They help the show, but they're not the stars of the show. They're not the cowboys.
Well, you're the first person that ever said that the clowns are trying to be like Jesus. Very first one.
Right. Well, they're being humble.
They are. So we're going to be talking about yeah. the triumphant entry and Palm Sunday and all the things that go with it. There's a lot of things that have to do with our culture, the cowboy culture. You want to hang on to this one, and we're looking forward to what's next.
Yeah, in today's society, the U.S. might have brought some tear gas to this happening.
Oh, yeah, it might have. Yeah,
it's some people might have gone to jail. Sit back and relax. We're going to Cowboy Church with a special message.
I thought you're going to get sit back and relax. We're going to go to jail. It's not going to work.
I was built back in 65 on the corner of North and Main, right between the Blackburn School and the Johnson's Field of Hay. And the breeze a tire swing sways in the shadow of my steeple. I am just a small town church with a blacktop parking lot. Cars used to fill these spaces and couldn't find a spot. They'd spend their Sundays in the shadow of my steeple. Sunday. shines through the stained glass on my lonely balcony. The paint is peeling to the wooden doors on an empty nursery. Less and less the children play. In the shadow of my steeple,
So in the midst of all the heartache, of all the things and all the struggles that we are, God helps us to become stronger. And that's what this country is based on. So world, bring on the rain, bring on the troubles, because we are in this world. But our God says, I have overcome the world. Another day has almost come and gone. I can't imagine what else could go wrong. Sometimes I'd like to hide away somewhere and lock the door. A single battle lost, but not the war, no. Tomorrow's another day, and I am not afraid. So bring on the It's almost like the hard times circle round. Another drop and they all start coming down. Yeah, I might feel defeated and I might hang my head. I might be barely breathing, but I'm not dead, no. Tomorrow's another day, and I'm thirsty anyway, so bring on the rain. No, I'm not gonna let it get me down. I am not gonna cry. I'm not gonna lose any sleep tonight. Cause tomorrow's another day, and I am not afraid, so bring on the rain. Tomorrow's another day, and I'm thirsty anyway, so bring on the rain. Bring
Bring on the rain.
And this week we're going to be talking about, it's Palm Sunday, and next week is Easter. And we're talking basically about hearing from God. When God spoke on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." Then the next few items along the way in verses 22 of chapter 17 of Matthew is where we're going to pull our text from. It says, "And as they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus told them this, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day, he will be raised up.' And they were deeply distressed." The reason they were deeply distressed is because they only heard part of the message. They only heard the part that he would be killed. They hadn't realized that God can do anything, and God's in charge of life. And so it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. If God's God, God can do whatever he says. And he was speaking to them here. He is speaking to them in verse 22. It says, "They will kill him." And then they didn't hear any more. But then he finished. He said, "And on the third day, he will be raised up." I want to talk with you to get ready for Easter here on the third day. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that there was a third day. Thank you that there wasn't just the death on the cross, but there was the resurrection. And Lord, today as we begin to dive into the last week that Jesus spent on earth as a human, that we get to understand and we get to look into your word and help us to be better at being the kind of people you want us to be, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So the disciples in communication, I don't know if any of you are married or not, but if you've ever been married, there's a strange communication flaw that happens between husbands and wife, and it's inevitable. It's inevitable. It happens in every marriage. And what happens is we hear what we think we heard when the other person is speaking what they know they're speaking, but there's a gap there because the communication isn't made. It's true. It happens. It happens in every marriage. And if you will ask anybody, even though they deny it, there are times when I will say blue, and when she looks at blue, she's not seeing the same color of blue that I am. This is a blue shirt. I know it looks almost black because it's really dark blue. But if I was to say to my wife, blue, she might not see this color blue. She may see a light blue, and things go downhill from there. And so Jesus is speaking to them. They hear the first part, but they didn't hear the other part. They were nervous. The idea of life as they know it right now was going to change. Things are completely different. And what I want to do today, I want to talk to you about how to balance your life. This is about Jesus, but I want to take what there is about Jesus, and I want to be able to apply it to our lives so that our lives begin to reflect Jesus living in us. And it's called the balanced life. I want you to look at what happens between Jesus from 1 week to the next week. The first week, he walks into Jerusalem. He borrows an unbroken colt. He gets on a colt that has never been ridden, completely unbroke. He rides this colt through town. They call it Palm Sunday because they were throwing palm leaves down in front of him. They tried to set him up as king. They tried to have him overthrow the government. And at that time, the Roman government was in charge. And they wanted him to stand up and be a fighter. They wanted him to stand up and be a warrior. But Jesus understood the time, and they didn't. And so at the time, he was the most popular guy that there is. And little did anybody know except Jesus that within a week's time, he would go from the most popular figure in Israel to the most despised person in Israel. And it's hard to live a balanced life when you have that kind of up and down. So I come up with just a few sayings about a balanced life. The challenge for us is to live our lives as if we're going to die in 10 minutes while preparing our life to live for 100 years. The second thing is to live our life as if nobody cares, with the grace that makes and keeps the deepest of loving friendships. Next balance is to live in the center of the teeter-totter while risking a seat at either end. You know how that goes. I've got a whole message on codependency about the teeter-totter. Codependency, the more codependent it is, the further out on the edge you get. But the teeter-totter, if you both get in the middle, there's relationship there. There's touch. There's hold. There's care. In the center of the teeter-totter, with both people being balanced in their life, but the more out of balance it gets, the more they move to one side of the teeter-totter, and it's not long till one of them steps off the teeter-totter and drops the other one down. That's imbalance. But if you're going to be real balanced, you have to be able to walk in the center of the teeter-totter and yet to care enough with the right person to be able to live at both ends of the teeter-totter and trusting each other. You have to take care, but you have to trust. That's being balanced. The other balance part is to love people who live in the world without allowing the influence of the worldliness in them to misdirect you. That's a balanced life. And the balanced life is to never treat another human as a second-rate citizen while remembering the grace, listen this, that it took to save this second-rate citizen, me. So we have to live in a balanced world, even though sometimes the world is going to try to make you into something that you're really not. They're going to try to make you think that you're the most popular person, that you're the Taylor Swift of the year. And at the same time, you're going to have situations where you're a dirty dog. You're misunderstood and nobody understands you. You're going to have to figure out how to get along in a situation. And being balanced, a balanced person is one who is able to navigate those. And this is one of the major reasons that we need to have a voice in our ear, is to help us to navigate being accepted, over-accepted, popular, godlike, and still being able to take the bad talk and the persecution, all of the other things that go with it. A balanced person is able to navigate those kind of things only through God helping us. So I want to look at that for just a second. In Palm Sunday, the reason they call it Palm Sunday, they threw palm leaves in front of the cult. And I've told this story before, but it's one of my favorite stories, so just bear with me. I'm going to tell it again. When my brother and I, Randy, were in college, we went to the national finals, the college finals. Actually, he qualified, and I got to team rope with him. I think Dad told him that he couldn't ride Dad's horse unless he entered with me. I think that's exactly how it happened. But I got to go to the college finals because my brother qualified. And in the finals, our head and horse was a horse called Juice. The reason we called him Juice was a couple of reasons. He came off the track, and he was a paint horse. And the other reason is that if you didn't warm him up, he would just buck you off. He would buck hard. Me and Randy are not rough stock guys, so if he'd go to bucking, we were done. We just bail off, let him finish bucking. If he ever bucked, he was okay from then on. And so we get to the college finals. You know how kids are. We miss the time up, so we're running late. And they've got the team roping to where it's going to be pretty soon, and we realize that we're in trouble. And it, coming up there, we hadn't had a chance to really ride him, so he's feeling pretty fresh, and we're in trouble. So one of the kids on our rodeo team, He's rough stock guy, and he's friends with a guy named Dan Massey. Shout out to Dan Massey. our friend, and you realize we're in trouble, and he goes, comes up to Randy, and he says, "Hey, Randy, this is Dan Massey. He's a student president of the National Intercollegiate Rodeo Association. He's a saddle bronc rider. They're going to introduce him. He needs to ride a horse in the grand entry." Well, if Juice would ever buck, then we were good. And we thought, it's not a bad deal. So he said, "Well, sure, I'd be honored to have Dan ride the horse." Well, they just had enough time for Dan to get on the horse. And what you're supposed to do is when that gate cracks, you're supposed to come through the gate fast. I mean, you go to a dead run around and wave to the crowd. So when the gate cracked, Dan pops through the gate at a dead buck. Juice yanked the reins right out of his hands. He starts bucking down the edge of the arena. But Dan's a saddle bronc rider. He's riding him. He's got no problem. It's not like me and Randy to falling off. And he rides him down to the end and around. He did forget to wave. Gets around the edge, and Juice kind of gives it up. And he's still got the reins up over his ears. And Dan picked the reins up. Juice is set for us. I mean, he's done us a really good big favor there. And he rides him around and sets him up, and they have the rest of the grand entry. Well, Dan's the first one in. So with the grand entry the way it is, he's supposed to be the last one out. And it's a great way to start a rodeo. Everybody applauded. As he's coming out, he's got the big saddle bronc hat on, and he's leading. He got off. He doesn't know he's safe. He's leading the horse, and his hat's down like this, and he comes up to Randy, and he says, "You guys got me. Did a good job. You got me." And Randy says, "You know, Dan, they tried to do that to Jesus." He said, "What?" I can still see his hat, big black hat. And he goes, "What?" He said, "Yeah, they tried to do that to Jesus. You know that he got on a colt that had never been rode and is entered in a parade in Jerusalem. And they were throwing palm leaves and jackets in front of it." And guys, if you don't know, if a bucking horse out of the chute has a tendency to run for a little ways and then start bucking, what they'll do is they will throw a jacket underneath his front feet to get his head to go down. If his head will go down, he'll start bucking. They'll throw it underneath him or a flank strap or something just to get him to his head down so he doesn't run out there, because that wastes a lot of time. These people... And I think maybe it's the people who lend him the colt. I don't have that for sure. We don't know that for positive. But I think maybe the people who lend him the colt, whereon never a man set, are the same people who started the thing about palm leaves and jackets, and now we call it Palm Sunday. I'm not sure exactly how all of that started, but I know in our lives, in our culture, that's the way it would have happened. So here they are on Palm Sunday. And he's the most honored guest. They're apparently trying to get him bucked off. They're doing all the things that you should do. He wins every circumstance, every situation. And then he begins the most difficult week of ministry that he's ever been involved in. Palm Sunday was to set him up as king. He knew that they missed it because they missed the communications. And he kept telling them that, "I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified." Palm Sunday, as they saw it, was to honor the new king, the Son of God, who was going to set them free. And instead of setting them free, he pointed out the problems that we still have. In a balanced life, we have to understand that death and resurrection are a long ways apart.